And next for a scripture reading, we'll read from two places. First of all, Exodus chapter 16, reading from verse 1 through 21. And then the Gospel of John chapter 6, reading from verse 26 through 33. So first of all, Exodus 16, beginning at verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And then next to John chapter 6, reading from verse 26 through 33. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Text for preaching, you can find in Exodus 16. Exodus 16. In the way of God's providence, the last day, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is just before Christmas Day. And I want to focus your attention on Exodus 16, verse 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? A sight of God's glory, and 3 points of attention. One, the promising God, for the Lord is promising to his people, In the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, and he will reveal his glory in giving them nourishment, bread, and the quails as a flesh and meat to eat. But we can also think of his revelation of his glory in sending his Son, for he is the true bread. Second point of attention, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, the hearing God. He hears the murmurings, the complaints of the people. He is gracious to a complaining people. In the third place, he's also the proving God. He has a purpose with giving them bread. with revealing His glory. He has a purpose, and that is to prove the people and to prove Himself to be the Lord, their God, as we see in verses 4, last part of it, that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And in verse 12, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, the Lord God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. So a sight of God's glory, one, the promising God, two, the hearing God, and three, the proving God. Dear congregation, the Lord wants to glorify Himself in a people that has deprived itself from all its glory, especially in sending His Son in the flesh as a bread and nourishment for their souls, but also to glorify Himself in such a people that deprived itself from their glory, the glory they had by God, bearing His image, walking in the ways of righteousness and holiness. But now the glory and splendor of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. That's the glory of man. And we experience this when we become weak out of hunger, when we get ill, when we get a mental illness. And definitely we experience this when we have to meet death in its horrible appearance, as the wages of sin. The glory of man fades away. It's vanishing. Like in the Latin, such vanishes the glory of the world. It's fading away. The glory of man and the glory of the world due to sin, due to the curse because of sin. The glory of man fades away because, as we can read in the chapter 3 of Romans, we come short of the glory of God. We are lacking it. And that does mean several things. We come short of the glory of God. We do not glorify God. We can't, due to sin. And man is not glorying itself. He is not famous. He is full of shame. We can see that time and again, also in our own lives. Full of shame, having forfeited all favors and all good gifts of the Lord. And everything we have more than hell, it's His goodness and His loving kindness and His long suffering. Furthermore, he has not glory or praise from God, as good men receive glory and praise from God. He is praising the righteous. He will praise his own work in the righteous, but as born from a sinful father and mother, as born the posterity of Adam, he does not deserve the glory or praise from God. He receives no glorious grace from God because of his own works. And he deprived himself and his children from God because he left the God of life, and he disturbed, he even made to naught the image of God he was created in. He has deprived himself from the glory of God, the glory of his image. He has no righteousness, no holiness of his own. He is lacking all these things. And for that reason, as a penalty, as a punishment, he is excluded from the nearness of God, from the eternal glory of God. In one word, man is lacking the glorious presence and the glorious nearness of the Lord God. And no man has seen God. No man can tell us about him. No man can see God and live. His glory is too bright, too big, too great for a man living in darkness of sin and foolishness. Man comes short of the glory of God. Who will then declare us, give us a declaration of God? Who will give a revelation of his glory by which we are not consumed? Who will? Is that your hope, your longing maybe, your expectation? In this time of Advent, we are in need of him. Of him whose coming we will remember, the Lord willing, tomorrow. Who has the glory of the Father. He who is full of grace and truth. But how do we get a sight of him? A sight of the saving glory of God, while God is promising his glory. A sight of his glory, of his saving glory, to the people of Israel in the desert. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Or as we can translate it also, tomorrow, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. You shall see tomorrow. Did you ever hear of such a precise promise of the Lord? Even to an unbelieving people, a disobedient people, a complaining people. Because we could read that the people of Israel was murmuring, complaining against the Lord, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They said, we had rather have stayed in Egypt. We had rather even died there by the hand of the Lord. But at least we had had there the flesh pots, the meat to eat and bread to eat to the full. Enough bread to eat, they say. In the beginning of this chapter, woe to God, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. That's man. He wants rather to die with the flesh pots of Egypt than to die at the seat, the holy seat of God. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They are complaining, murmuring. There they had flesh and enough bread to eat. In this wilderness they will starve to death. There is no water, there is no meat, there is no bread. Did I forget so soon the wonderful works of the Lord? Did I forget so soon His delivering them from the land of Egypt? They have a bad memory, have they? I think most of them did not receive it by faith, by believing. They took it. They took the gifts of the Lord, but they didn't believe. They used it, but they didn't believe. They didn't acknowledge the Lord. They didn't acknowledge His powerful grace in support of them, in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. Israel is reigned by such a deep unbelief, while they had seen God's marvelous deeds acting in favor of them, liberating them from the slavery of Egypt. But they have a bad memory. It was not pressed upon their memory, not pressed in their hearts by belief, by faith. We, for example, can ask, do we have to move? Must we move to a bigger spot, to another house? Can we do that? My God, in former days, has shown that He was good and taking care of us. But if faith is lacking and not in exercise, we can do nothing. Even after we received grace, we are not able to do anything. And what we do is full of sin and not out of faith. What's God's answer to this unbelief, the unbelief of the people? He's promising. And in the morning, ye shall see the glory of the Lord. He is not dependent upon the belief or unbelief of the people. He gives His promise in order to draw an unbelieving people to Himself and to work faith in their hearts. Is that not gracious? He promises, while He knows the people is not believing Him. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. It shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, in order to work faith in their hearts, to draw them, to humble them, by giving them. They are demanding and asking for. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. They only asked for bread, but the Lord will give more. Not only bread, but the revelation of His glory. And if ye will believe, ye will be established. But if you don't believe, you will not be established. However, God promises despite the people's unbelief. He doesn't say, I shall rain fire and brimstone on such an unbelieving people and these murmurers and consume them. He might have said that justly, but he does not. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. He promises to reveal his glory. And that's either displayed in giving bread, in raining bread about the tents, or rather as it appears in a cloud. And I think, according to verse 10, that we must think about the latter sense. It appears in a cloud. Verse 10. And it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. He not only gives them bread. He not only wants to support them, but he wants to reveal himself, to make himself known to the people, that definitely in the end they will believe on him and trust him alone. After all complaints, after all unbelief, they will trust him and no other. They will trust him even in the wilderness of their lives. They will trust him while seeing nothing they can eat, maybe. But trusting him that he can supply more than is enough. When Aaron called Israel to draw near before the Lord, the glory of the cloud appears. The glory of the Lord. What is that? Glory of the Lord. Did you ever see the glory of the Lord? Who can see the glory of the Lord and stand? For it's the holy presence of the Lord. Later on, the people will ask, withhold it. Thy glory we cannot see and live. Moses, he will ask later on to see it. The glory of the Lord. He only will see a part of it. Even Moses, he could not stand to see the glory of the Lord, the holy presence of the Lord. And now God is promising to reveal his glory. Though the glory of the Lord is his holy presence, it is also when he reveals a part of it, full of grace. And if he reveals later on himself his glory to Moses, he causes his glory, not his holiness in the first place, not his righteousness in the first place, but in the first place he calls it his long suffering, his grace. He wants to reveal his grace, his long suffering, his truth, his faithfulness, his loving kindness to the people in giving them bread, in giving them nourishment, that they may trust in him. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. You see it? You have seen it before? The glory of the Lord. When he is revealing himself through the Scriptures, coming from the Scriptures to stand before Thee, You, to reveal Himself as a holy God and yet gracious, that You might trust Him. In the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, and He will reveal Himself in giving what they need. Who will reveal Himself then, you ask, if it's not the full holiness of the Lord, if it's not the full righteousness of the Lord? For otherwise they can't stand. How can they stand when the glory of God will reveal itself to them? Well, we read it's the angel of the Lord. It's the eternal Word. It's the Son of God coming in the cloud, heading the people, protected them when they were persecuted by the Egyptians. It protected them. It was a bright shining cloud to the Israelites, but it was a dark cloud to the Egyptians, and they perished in the Dead Sea. They couldn't pursue the Israelites, because it was dark. But the people of Israel could reach the other side because the cloud was a light, shining and bright. It's the angel of the Lord in a pillar of the cloud. And He comes to the people, and He will reveal the glory of the Lord. It's the Son of God. God will reveal His glory. He does so in the Old Testament, and He will do in full time in His Son. No man has seen God. No man can see His glory. But the only begotten Son of the Father, He has revealed it. He has declared it unto us. And He hears the murmurings against the Lord of the people. What will He be grieved? But still, He pursues to reveal His glory, to save the people, that it may trust in Him. Because He is the hearing God. For that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Second point of attention. He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. He hears. The Son of God, the angel of the Lord, He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Government leaders do not hear all opposition against their authority. Fortunately not. And neither do your parents hear all your complaints against their education. Nor do teachers hear all murmurs against their education. But God hears all your grumblings, all your murmurings, all your complaints. Maybe you can't submit to the way of His providence. You are longing for something like the people of Israel, and you're supposed to have an expectation of some things. You're supposed to have received a promise for something. For man deceives himself time and again, And he can think, well, I received a promise, and the Lord will work, he will fulfill it. But it's possible you only promised yourself a certain thing you are longing for. You promised yourself. And the Lord did not. And now you blame God for you withholding you something. You promised yourself? Certainly, God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. That's true. From His people. What is to the best of the souls and to the glory of His name. But He will not promise anything. He will not fulfill the promise you made yourself. He does not fulfill always a longing for something you think to be a promise of the Lord. We have first of all to search our hearts and life. And then we see so much turnings aside from the Lord that He may justly withhold all things from us and remove all what we enjoy. But here the Lord speaks. And in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He hear of your murmurings against the Lord. He gives also this people according to His wisdom, not after its longing. Now, according to His wisdom, to teach them something, to lead them in the right way, to draw them near to Himself, that they may trust Him and Him alone. He always gives according to His wisdom. So submit then yourself and your longing to the Lord. And learn to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then God will come in the way of His providence to give according to His wisdom, to such a in such a proportion He sees needful to your good, even to your best. That's the way God is caring for His people. Not according to their own hearts and lusts, but to His own thoughts. He is caring for His people according to His wisdom. In such times, in such seasons, as are of His own appointment and not ours. And in the morning, repent this day. But God is free to give it tomorrow when He thinks best, according to His own appointment and His own season. Tomorrow then ye shall see. For that He hear of your murmurings, which you murmur against Him. God hears, and He bears, and will give at His own time, best time. For that He heareth. He hears. And therefore, you will see His glory, because He is the hearing God. And He even hears to a complaining people, but not according to their longing, but according to His own purpose, to reveal His glory. In His long suffering He bears their complaints, their murmurings, and He wants to teach the people something, to trust in Him, believe in Him. You will see, despite He hears your murmurings in His hearing of your complaints. The holding of presence of the Lord will be so overwhelming that not even Moses later on could stand, yet he will reveal His glory and His mercy to work faith in the hearts of His people, that they may receive all good gifts from His hands, that they may live in expectation of His care, His tender care as a good shepherd, though they are in the wilderness, though you must be in the wilderness, maybe in the wilderness of your life, surrounded with cares, maybe even plunged in care, sorrow and grief. He can take care even in the wilderness, and He will reveal His nearness and His glory, the glory of His grace, the glory of His mercy, the glory of His loving kindness. That's His glory. We can also see and the Word of God, the Son of God, becoming flesh, in God incarnate, the true bread. He calls Himself the bread of life. God will give Him and show in Him His glory. To a complaining, to an unbelieving, to a disobedient and unfaithful people, because He is the proving God. Moses said, "And what are we? What are we, human beings, that you murmur against us? Is it not the Lord that freed thee, liberated thee, delivered thee, you from the bondage of Egypt, from the bondage and slavery of sin? Did you not see this? Did you forget this? That He wants to deliver from sin, from that slavery. What are we that you murmur against the Lord? That you murmur against us? You murmur against the Lord. He has brought thee, you, out of Egypt. He has all rights to be your God. You're murmuring against the Lord. And is His hand less mighty than at that time when He gave water in Marah and made it sweet that you could drink to satisfy your thirst? Is His hand less mighty that He can supply for all your needs? What are we that ye murmur against us? We can't help you either, but we refer you to the Lord, that ye may direct your hearts and souls to Him that can supply in all your needs. O unbelieving, complaining people, we, Moses and Aaron, we did not deliver you. It's the Lord. And He will reveal His saving and caring glory. In the first place, to prove the people. To prove a people. To test it. If it will walk in His ways. as is stated in verse 4, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Adam, he did not walk in the law of his God. Will Israel do? Will it walk in the ways of the Lord? As we can see in the following verses of this chapter, they don't. At least some don't. Because some left over to the morning. And then a good gift of God perished by their unbelief. That's what we are doing with God's good gifts. They will perish due to our unbelief. And he is proving the people. He will reveal his glory, but first of all, he will uncover their unfaithful and unbelieving hearts to themselves, in order that they may see it's only grace. Only grace, due to which he will reveal his saving and gracious glory. He proves to people whether they will walk in my law, whether they will walk in the way of grace. For this was already God's gracious gift. But they abused it. He wanted to teach them a constant dependence on himself for their daily nourishment. But even then, even when they saw God supply it with all their need, they didn't believe and didn't walk in the ways of his statutes, in the ways of his law, in the ways of his grace. They didn't take it as grace. But they wanted to do something themselves, to add something to the work of God. If he was not able to supply the other day with bread to unbelieving heart, mistrusting heart. And if God has liberated us from the bondage of sin, then we know that's not hidden to your conscience, to your mind, to your heart. Then you will know by his mighty hand in your life that you must follow, though there is much strife against it from your own heart and much resistance, but you must follow. You can't withdraw yourself from his voice. It keeps talking in your mind, in your heart. Follow me. Trust me. Let me lead thy paths in my righteousness, and acknowledge thy own, your own unrighteousness. But if God has liberated us from the bondage of sin, we sometimes think again. We can walk in our own ways. Walk in the ways of the Lord, and also walk in our own ways. And to do something without acknowledging him and consulting him. But that's the wrong way. And God will make, will give a tender conscience that you know. We can even start to long back to the time before our conversion. The flesh pots of Egypt. Not that horrible lusts maybe, but the lusts not very horrible to other men. We bear them. We had to abandon them, but why not return to them? People of Israel is longing back to the flesh pots of Egypt. There they had bread enough, they even say to the full. But God leads them in the wilderness. And He leads His people time and again in the wilderness to teach them to be wholly dependent upon Him alone and to walk in the ways of His grace and not to add anything to His grace, for that grace must reign alone. And then they may see His fatherly care, a care of a father to children that do not deserve to be named His children again. Mere grace. Among the people of Israel, we see, so even after God gave manna, some who don't believe and are disobedient. Let no man leave of it till the morning, but they did. Some did. Some did. Notwithstanding, God foresaw this. He hearkened. He wanted to prove Himself, even in the way of unbelief of those people. He wanted to prove Himself and to lead them to conversion, to repentance. For He is the Lord their God. He has brought them out of Egypt. He is a right to them. He is a right to us. He is a right to us all. For we were created after His own image, in His glory, in His righteousness, and He demands it back. Can you give it back? We can only give back pieces of it, but it can never become whole. Here it is, almost come to naught. Just a little sparkles are left. He demands it back. And we can give it back. And even He leaves something for us to do, as we can see in this story of the Israelites. We will spoil God's good gifts, but He will reveal His glory. Despite all unbelief, He will, for He wants to prove Himself. His glory does not forbear that His people will not acknowledge Him as the Lord their God. And He wants to be their God. And He wants that people to be His and His alone. And therefore He wants to prove Himself, to give another sign, to give another evidence that He brought them out of the land of Egypt, that He is able. not only to free them from the bondage of sin at first, but also every time, and that it is His work, and that He also has to remove the leftovers of the longings back to the lust, to the flesh pots of Egypt, of our own lusts. It's His work to free a people, to sanctify a people, that it may trust in Him only, and that He will do by revealing His glory. Moses did not give the bread from heaven. What are we? Moses said, we are but human beings, but trust in God alone. Expect it from Him. Hope in Him. God will give bread, daily nourishment to the full. He has done in the wilderness as a sign of His faithfulness, a sign of His grace. Despite the people's unbelief, He has done to Israel in the promised land. We see Naomi later on returning from Moab, returning to Bethlehem, for she had heard that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. He had visited. Not only there was bread, but He had visited. He revealed His glory another time, and she saw it, though she had to acknowledge, the mighty hand of the Lord is against me. She went back and take refuge together with Ruth under His wings. For God had visited His people. God visited His people in Bethlehem. He would visit this little village again to reveal His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth for a deceiver, for a mistrusting man. He is the God of truth. He is truth Himself. He is forgiving. He is forbearing sins. He is long-suffering. He is full of mercy. And He will visit again His people to reveal His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He has revealed many times Himself to the people. But in the last time, in the fullness of time, He will give them His full glory, in full grace and full truth, as to supply for all needs of sinners. Not only bread for daily nourishment for the body, but for all things. The true bread, Himself, His holy presence, though not consuming presence. That's in the child of Bethlehem. The strong God, the mighty God. That little child, that tender child, He is the glory of God. We have seen His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, not full of consuming fire as we deserve, but full of grace and truth to an unbelieving people. And He can supply for all things, even for your unbelief. It's only His glory, to glorify Himself in a people that deprived itself from all glory, from the holy presence of God, to be their God, that they may be His people. And as God is our God, then all things that are His are ours. Marvelous. But if we are His people, then all things that are ours are His. That's more marvelous. My filthiness, my unrighteousness, my unholiness. But see, in the manger, the true bread of life, the only righteousness, the only holiness, the glory of God, the image of God, that by trusting Him alone, we may be restored in Him and walk in the ways of His grace the rest of our lives, to return again to the ways of grace, to the paths of His righteousness. Is there a hungry man? A woman? There is nourishment in Bethlehem. In Him who has said, I am the bread of life. Moses did not give the true bread of heaven. God did. The Father of Christ gives in Him true bread. He will be born in Bethlehem. He will give Himself as a bread to the soul, His blood to the thirsty, who are thirsty for righteousness, even to those who are thirsty for the world. Come, why do you give your money? Why do you give the good gifts of God for that which cannot satisfy? Here is bread to the full, to supply for all your needs, and daily, time and again. Oh, there is laying my uprightness. There is laying my cleanness, my righteousness, my holiness. And He is wrapped in the filthy clothes of my unrighteousness. A full supply of all my needs. The true bread for the soul. You say for the soul only. No, for all things. For if God does not withhold His only begotten Son, and in Him His glory, He will restore all things in due time. That's the expectation in the wilderness of this life. The wilderness of this life is not empty of bread to live upon. For God sent His Son in the fullness of time to give full nourishment. And nothing will He withhold in Him. He has not spared Him. He did not withhold Him. He was before the holy countenance of the Lord in glory. And He willingly left the glory of the Lord to reveal God's glory to man and to glorify God in the lives of sinners. Return then. Return, O sinner, from the flesh pots of Egypt. Return then. Let drop while you are carrying your own righteousness and apparent glory. You have no glory left in yourself. Go to Bethlehem, that small village. Let glorious in the sight of the Lord, for there He has visited His people, and He is willing to do once more the preaching of His word. For there He gave bread to the full, a fullness of grace and truth for those who deserve nothing and found themselves unupright, a supply to the full. O ye people that findest but death in yourself, if thou shouldest believe, if thou shouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God in the morning of God's new day. Thou dead, yet alive, for he is the bread of eternal life. Amen. Let us thank the Lord. O Lord, thou knowest what we need, and thou canst provide for all our needs, even to the full. Fullness of grace and truth to be supported daily from grace to grace. The one grace to another grace. A grace to see ourselves, a grace to see thee in thy glory, a grace to trust thee, to trust in thee only. Give us the right thankfulness in acknowledging thee alone, in dropping all our own supplies and means to take refuge with thee alone, and to live in that expectation. Thou canst provide to the full, O Lord. Thou wilt not put to shame that expectation, that hope, for it's thine own work. O visit it again, that we may see thy glory, that saving glory, before we see thy consuming glory. O be also with those people who will listen later on to this sermon, to this service. Give them a blessing too. Give us a blessed day, that it may be thy day, the Lord's day, the Lord reigning in our hearts by word and spirit, in the midst of our families, but also if we are lonely and needy. Comfort us all sorrow and grief, and be with those that couldn't attend the service. Thou knowest the reason. O Lord, bring them here again. In thy gracious love, that they may also hear and see with us thy glory, the word. We ask thee, in the forgiveness of our sins, in listening and speaking for Jesus' sake only. Amen.